Good morning. Good morning, Teach Better Family. I'm Jeff. That's Katie. We're live here with you on our Teach Better Today morning show. It's live Monday through Friday every week, 7 a.m. Eastern time. We're going to talk about life and maybe some other stuff. Maybe something about teaching. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to talk a little bit. We're kind of matching today, but not 100%. So I think we'll have to decide whether this counts or not, Katie. We'll talk about that when we get back here from the opening credits here. We'll see. All right, we are back. Welcome to Teach Better Today, your morning show every weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern time on all your social media networks. And of course, up on the Teach Better Talk podcast. If you're listening or watching live, please drop in the comments. Let us know where you're watching from, what's going on today, how you feeling. If you're listening on the podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you subscribed. And if you left a rating and review, that would mean a lot to us as well. Katie, my friend, we were matching recently, which was great. Mm-hmm. We're close today, but I don't feel like I pulled off the right kind of black, and that's my fault. Couldn't find what I thought you would wear, and I just went with this.
That's okay. I mean, our vibes are similar.
This is good. I think so. We're matching vibes, so that's good. At least we're matching vibes. Okay.
Matching vibes.
Okay. How's life? How are things? How is just the stuff going over at the Meglin family?
Good. Good. We're just rocking. Rocking the weeks, and it's just, we're kind of at that, it's a normal week. We've got soccer at night. We've got volleyball at night. So we're kind of like in the thick of school year, which is fun, but also cherishing things.
Both girls play soccer and volleyball, or one and one?
Mm-mm. We have Stella. The littlest one is in soccer, which is really, it's called Happy Feet. So that tells you the level.
It's called Happy Feet.
It's called Happy Feet. It's mostly like ball coordination and understanding.
What's wrong with
like,
your feet, son? They're happy too. Sorry.
So my husband like thought I was joking when I was like, yeah, I signed her up for Happy Feet. And he was like, haha, like the penguins. I was like, what? I forgot it.
Yeah. Like the penguins. And it's called Happy Feet. I coached butterflies before.
See?
It's called butterflies. That's what it was. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then our oldest is in volleyball. So
in volleyball, does that have a fun name?
Volleyball.
Is it like I don't know. Like I don't know what fun name. What fun name would you? Ooh, there you go. In the comments, what fun name would be good for a volleyball for young kids? I don't know if there's a movie. Nothing's coming. I want to say something with marshmallows, but I don't know how to fit it in there. So.
Okay. Anyway. I look forward to seeing what's coming.
So, any fun weekend stuff coming up, or like plans or getaways or family functions stuff that happens?
We're soaking in as much of the weekends as possible because there will soon be a fifth Miglin, as you know. So, September and October are all about just family of four, things that don't require a baby. That's what we're
can we do now that we won't be able to do later? Like sleep. Camping. Do you just sleep all weekend long? Is that what it is?
I mean, yeah, there are a lot more naps.
So you go camping, do you go like tent camping or? Okay. Where do you go? Do you go like, do you have like a park close by, or you just go in the backyard?
Yes.
What do you?
We have like a preferred park. I don't think it's a state park. It might be, but it's preferred because my criteria is it has to have a flushable bathroom. Like I just want to be able to flush.
Like a bath house somewhere that you can go to.
Like where I can press I can like actually flush.
Yeah, but that's not like you're intense, but it's got to be like at a place that has a washroom that you can go and use an actual washroom.
Like we don't do, I'm past the point of staying at places where it's like a hole in the ground and not like a outhouse.
What about ones that are like, they're not, it's not. It's not the like indoor plumbing water, but it's just like where you push the button and it drops. It's not the same as like a porta potty, really. Cause like that's, when I go to Canada, like that's what we have up there. Like that is our restaurant.
I mean, I would have to like, I guess,
but it's a whole lot nicer camping than, in a tent.
Right. So that's the thing. That's what I'm okay with is sleeping. I can sleep places. I've like stayed at camps where I've slept literally outside with no tent before.
Sure.
But the bathroom is like, and with two kids, like we just need to go somewhere that there's like a roof and I can flush, and that's all I care about. So yeah,
We
we have a
have that
preferred
too.
place we go to, and it's like 10 minutes from our house, so it's nice because if the weather, like it's been really hot before, so we've been able to come home and like cool off for, a couple hours.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
So, but yeah, we're just kind of like enjoying all the little weekend moments of like that things you can't do when you have a newborn.
I'm actually getting ready to go camp for a weekend with Jonathan. So Jonathan's in
Okay.
Scouts.
Yeah,
We're
because
doing
you
it. We're
camp
doing camp.
often.
Yeah, a little more because of that. Yeah. So this is, this is one where like we, and Cub Scouts there, you go to the camp. They have a whole campground here that's preserved, and part it's actually in the middle of the metro parks. But the Scouts bought it years and decades ago, preserved it and whatever. Anyway, and this is actually like the 100th celebration, so I guess 100 years ago that they established it. So that's kind of fun. So we're on that, but like in the Cub Scouts, they have cabins and stuff, so you'd sleep in the cabins, they bunk beds, whatever. But when you cross over to Scouts, you don't sleep in the cabins. It's all tents. So we did our first camp out was last spring. That was the first time Jonathan did like a full camp out in a tent, and by himself. And so this will be out. We've done a couple now, and this will be a fun one. It's not too far from home. It's only like 20 minutes away from our house, but it's, kind of in the middle of nowhere. So they'll do the whole. It's different now. In the Cub Scouts, you're very involved as a parent. In the Scouts, you just kind of like hanging out with the other dads and moms and whoever's there to support, which is fun because I'll eat really well. We eat really well, and my favorite thing is the first time I went there, I'm like, they were telling me like giving me a breakdown of what we were going to eat. I'm like, oh, it sounds good. I'm like, what are the boys eating? And their little response was, I don't know, that's on them. I'm like, oh, I like that. So, yeah, so that's exciting. So we got that coming up. So that is, there are restrooms there, but they're like cement, like they're not like porta potties, but they are hole in the ground, but they're like an actual toilet, but like not with
Yes, I know what
actual
you're talking
water.
about.
Yes, thank
They're
you.
like the mix. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
Fun
concrete
fact.
building and stuff. Yeah, but
Right. Fun fact, I in high school every summer worked at a Boy Scout camp. I
oh, really?
volunteered for the last week of the summer. They always did they Boy Scouts stayed, and then they had severe and profound special needs people come
Okay.
out as like a vacation for families that, were
Yep.
helpful.
Yeah, I know
So
somebody. Yeah.
I
Very
volunteered
cool.
there, which actually is how I fell in love with camping.
I love it. Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I think that's good. That's exciting. So
Yeah, we're
camping.
good.
Let us know if you're
Treat us
camping.
to
It'd be like to
camping.
hear anybody else love. I know we know Joshua Stamper loves camping, so I'm curious if anybody else does. All right, let's get into some talk about. I want to talk about routines and stuff because we talked about this in the last time we were together, but I want to go a different route. So I'm gonna play this little commercial and we're gonna talk about some routines. And we are back. Welcome back to Teach Better Today, your morning show, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on all your favorite social media channels and over on the Teach Better Talk podcast. Welcome back. All right, Katie, I want to get right into it. Last time we were together, we talked about, we're into September. We kind of talked about how the households, but also just in general, like into the routine of things, right? Kind of gotten through the initial shock of all the changes and schedules and stuff like that. And I don't want to necessarily go that we talked a little more about our personal lives and the routines of our kids and stuff, but I want to kind of actually pull on your teacher hat and go into this point of the year. Like there's a good chance most of our community and stuff they're back into school. They're back in the routine of things. Some of them might be a few weeks in because it started later or whatever, but I'm thinking a lot of people are probably back into the routines. The students are getting it figured out. Like it's starting to be kind of settled into like what kind of kids you got this year, all the different changes that have been required of you and what your classroom is going to feel like. And that's great. And hopefully it's all smooth and going well for you. And you're just like, you're back into really loving it and all that stuff. However, I'm curious, Kate, I want to look at the other way of like, that's great. When we get into the routine, we get back to it and we're feeling good about it. And the students are with us and everything. But what happens this? It's still kind of early in the year when our routine gets thrown off course or when something breaks in our routine and suddenly starts like stops working or suddenly becomes a bottleneck in the flow of our days and stuff like that. How did you, I'm sure that never happened to you. No. how did you approach that? Cause I know you're a very routine person. We talked about you, how you have literally have checklists for your kids to make sure they get routines. And I know your classroom was the same. I know you do a lot of work helping educators to really figure out how to get the routine in place, get the students with it. But how do you deal with the fact, like once, even like if you're feeling good about the routine, when it gets thrown off or it breaks or it becomes very obvious that maybe the routine that you thought you needed is no longer the routine that you need. How do you address that?
Well, I think first you have to decide why is it thrown off. The beginning of the year can have so many different things. We know we work with, you know, schools that have state testing or some sort of testing that they start the year off that can throw off a schedule. I know when I was in the classroom, we had a lot of like drills and, you know, the fire drill, lockdown drill, all those things happened kind of that first month to make sure students were aware. You might have students coming in and out. Like there's tons of things that might disrupt the routine that's out of your control. So I think you first have to identify why is there a change in routine? And is it something that you can control or is it just kind of the life of being an educator? If it's something you can control, so if you notice your students have just settled in and maybe they are just not following the initial routines, I always, which this took me a long time to get used to, but I always like lean on, they just need a reminder, like they need a refresher. And I think sometimes I was really bad in my early years of, I said it once, I said it twice, I'm good. Or, you know, we spend a week practicing and now we're good. And it's like, no, because they're kids. And I think it's taken me a while to realize like that kids are kids and adults are the same way. Like adults aren't a whole lot better, but like practicing and not the repeating, like I'm not talking like the nagging of like, I told you guys to push in your chairs, you've got to push in your chairs, but like really coaching them, which is why I always lean on anything visual. It's why I have the checklist at my house. I had checklists in my classroom, like whatever you want to call it, but just like, how do we put our classroom back at the end of the day? If that's something that's falling by the wayside, do they need a visual reminder of like three things they need to do before they leave your classroom? Is there a way that you're starting class that's getting kind of disheveled? And, you know, is there something that they just need something to like be able to look at? Does your bell ringer or classroom starter need to be revamped? So like kind of evaluating like the things you push out to students, the things you control, do they need to be just reminded and coached? Do they need more visuals? You know, how can they kind of take the reins? But then I think there's the other thing too of being reflective of if something's not working. And that's sometimes the harder pill to swallow because we might have spent all summer thinking through what are our routines? What do we want our classroom to look like? But then if things aren't going well, you might have to pause and go, maybe what I thought isn't fitting this class or isn't fitting this classroom or this group of students. So we need to adjust. And I love just asking kids like, hey guys, this is what we are supposed to be doing. You're not doing it. Can someone tell me why? Can we like have an open dialogue as to like, why isn't this working? What will work? And if you really kind of create that culture of openness, students are going to tell you. You know, I taught middle school, so they're pretty open from day one. You know, they're going to tell you what they think. But just being able to like make it a safe space of like, I'm not mad that we're not doing it. I just need, we need to fix it together. And what can we do? And so creating that kind of culture of like, we're going to work together to figure out how this best suits us. Because there have been times where my third hour class needed a completely different set of routines than my seventh hour class. And that had to be okay. It didn't necessarily like jive well with my personality. You know, I like everything to be the same, but it worked better for them and that was okay. And so kind of coming to an agreement too. So I would say those three things, what can you, evaluating if you can't control it, just embracing it and kind of just knowing it's a temporary change in routine. If you can control it, you know, can you reteach, refix, coach? And then if it's something you can't control, talk to the students of like, what's going on and how can I help kind of meet them in the middle? You're muted. Jeff.
That was me being muted. That's okay. I was muted because I don't have anything important to say. No, I was saying that I really like the fact that you approach that as like it's not about disciplining them or even correcting them because they're not doing something. It's about talking with them, communicating them with them, like, hey, like these certain things need to happen every day. Mm-hmm. And they aren't. So like it's less, I told you, and you're not doing it, and more, hey, am I not doing something like to help you do this? Like, what did I mess up? And I think that's really powerful because your point, like, well, yes, middle school students are obviously going to be open, but like they're going to be more open in a positive way of being able to actually talk to me. Like, oh, like I'm not being yelled at right now. I'm being asked for my opinion, which I love to give.
Right. You have to go in knowing what your personal headspace is, because there were days I know I didn't handle the conversation well because I was annoyed. Like I was frustrated, sure. You know, it's like, it's on the board, you guys. Like there were moments where I was just like stressed, tapped out. So it's hard. It's not an easy thing for you to like calmly have a conversation, but mm-hmm. if you know, like I'm frustrated by this right now, don't address it then. Come back to it the next day, come back to it later so that they actually feel like you can have a conversation. Cause the second students see that you're tense about it and that you're upset, like they're not going to be open with you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the challenge I think we can put out is to approach these types of hiccups, if we will, speed bumps.
Yeah, that's all they are.
You know, whatever you want to call them. Right. Yeah. I think that's a great way to think of it. Approach them the right way and analyze, you know, the steps that Katie, I'm going to have you repeat the three things real quick too, but analyze those and make sure that you're approaching. I think the key, I love that you mentioned the headspace, like understand where you're at. Like, cause if you're in the wrong spot today may not be the day to address this. Maybe tomorrow when you have some time to think about it, cool down, then you can address it. If you go in the day knowing like, hey, they're probably not going to do these things, but let me get myself calm because I'm going to address it today. I think it's key. All right, give me those three things again, and then we're going to leave everybody with that. So these three things, go.
So are the change in routines out of your control? If they are, embrace it. It's temporary. Just kind of embrace it in the temporary mm-hmm. and move on. If it's things you can control, so do they need to have more visuals? Do they need to be coached a little more, taught a little bit more? Do that. If you feel like you're doing everything you can, open it up to students and get their feedback as to why things aren't working and how you can readjust to better suit their needs.
I love it. Awesome. Good talk. Drop in the comments. Let us know what you think. Let us know how you address these types of things, how you tackle this type of problem. And we'll see you tomorrow morning. Bye, appreciate friends. Y'all.
Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.